Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so continuing our reading from the chapter 4, Adi Leela chapter 4 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, in this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus, the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani, but the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. So this is Krishna's perception. Hey, what's going on here? I mean, I'm certainly enjoying in this relationship, but when I look, it seems like Radharani's even enjoying more than me. So what is going on? What's she experiencing? What does she see in me anyway? What is she seeing me? What is she attracted by? What's her experience? So he's wondering. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. So they're actually very similar. You know, each one of those, they're being presented here as three different reasons, but they're very similar. In essence, what it was is what I was saying, that Lord Krishna is trying to experience what is it that he's trying to understand, and even beyond understand, he wants to experience what Radharani's experiencing when she's, you know, feeling love for him. Because he can appreciate that it's much greater even than what he's feeling, the love he's feeling for her. And he's kind of like, you know, amazed by this. So that's why. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna accepting, the incarnation of Krishna that he accepts to understand the love that Radharani has for him. And not just intellectually, but to experience actually the love that Radharani has for him. And so that's there. Reading on. Lord Chaitanya appeared to fulfill these confidential desires and to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to answer the call of Advaita Prabhu. These were secondary reasons. So one interesting point here is Well, first, when I was reading it, the thing that came to mind is Krishna's got a life of his own. You know, I think of Lord Chaitanya, generally I think, okay, well, Lord Chaitanya's got, the primary purpose is to come and save us. You know, the primary purpose was to respond to Advaitacharya's call. But here it's mentioned it's just a secondary reason. And Krishna's got a life of his own. He's got his own private life, so to speak. His primary reason was just to experience, you know, the love that Radharani's feeling for him. But one thing that is interesting to note here is that Lord Chaitanya appeared to fulfill these confidential desires, the three that were previously mentioned. When Krishna tries to fulfill his confidential desire, all other living entities are benefited. So this is unique, because in the material world, just the opposite happens. You know, in the material world, when somebody, take some rich, famous, powerful person, or just somebody, you know, when they're interested or in the attempt to fulfill their confidential desires, they don't care. Some people may be benefited, most likely not, but they certainly don't care. Generally, that's the nature or the characteristic of material consciousness or lust. You see, you don't care. You're going to fulfill your confidential desires, and how it affects others, other living creatures, other human beings, the environment, you couldn't care less. You know, and the proof, the evidence of that is just walk outside this door and walk down the street and look at the rest of the world. You know, you'll see that's exactly what's going on. You know, people are out for their own enjoyment to fulfill their confidential desires, and they really couldn't care less, unfortunately, how it's impacting the rest of the world, how it's impacting, you know, the animals that are having to get slaughtered and tortured throughout their entire lives so they can satisfy their tongue. The forests that are being ripped down so they can read their newspapers and live in their nice cottages, and other human beings who just serve to get exploited and work hard at meaningless tasks, receiving below what they deserve remuneration, so that somebody else can get excessively rich, and it's like that. You see, but not when Krishna comes to fulfill his confidential desires, what happens? He propagates the chanting of Hare Krishna, and everybody, all the living entities get benefited, they get purified, and like that. See, so that's a special thing there. You know, Krishna comes, everybody benefits by whatever Krishna does, unlike what happens here in the material world. Anyway, so it goes on to say here, Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami was the principal figure among Lord Chaitanya's confidential devotees. The records of his diary have revealed these confidential purposes of the Lord. These revelations have been confirmed by the statements of Sri Rupa Goswami in his various prayers and poems. So, a thought that came from when I was reading that was, it says here that the records of his diary have revealed these confidential purposes. So, Sri Rupa Damodar, as we know, was very confidential. He was probably the closest associate of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, Ramananda Roy is considered basically on the same level as Sri Rupa Damodar. Actually, in Krishna Lila, I think Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, and Sri Rupa Damodar is Lalita. So, you know, the two very, very confidential gopi friends of Radharani. But Sri Rupa Damodar was probably with him more, you know, or at least for a longer period of time. And he had a lot of association, direct association with Lord Chaitanya. But do you think that Lord Chaitanya at some point sat down and spoke to him and said, Swarup, I want to tell you about the three confidential purposes for my appearance? Possibly, but most likely not. You see, my surmise would be that he, because of, you know, his highly advanced spiritual understanding and his immense amount of association with him, he could analyze. You know, he analyzed his behavior and his speech and everything, and he could understand that these were the three confidential reasons or purposes for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, you know, or Krishna's appearance as Lord Chaitanya. he wasn't told them. And in the same way, Rupa Goswami, I don't think Lord Chaitanya sat down and told him, but he also confirms, you know, that these revelations have been confirmed also by statements of Sri Rupa Goswami. So the point there is a lesson to be learned there, that which is that to understand something, like we'll hear, this specifically it's talking about Lord Chaitanya and the confidential reasons for his appearance, we have to learn that from the elevated devotees. You'd never be able to figure that out yourself. I mean, if you were there 550 years ago, I guess it is now, and you know, you were observing, would you have been able, I know I wouldn't have been able to understand, well, these are the three reasons why Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya. No. These things are revealed. It's revealed to the very elevated devotees, right? And then we receive that knowledge from the elevated devotees. And that's how not only how we can understand about, get insights into Lord Chaitanya, but bhakti yoga in general. That's how the whole process works. You know, just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. And what? Upadekshanti te gyanam. The self-realized soul imparts knowledge unto you. And it's the things that have been revealed to him, he shares that. And then, when you get that, when he shares that with us, then we could understand things in the proper perspective. Otherwise, we will not understand things in the proper perspective. You know, because we're like babes in the woods when it comes to bhakti yoga. You know, Prabhupada said, I mean, there's one little anecdote. Prabhupada said when he got off the boat in Boston, he didn't know whether to go right or left, you know. So maybe he meant that, maybe, you know, literally, because he was a new person. It was first time in America. So maybe when he got off the boat in Boston Harbor, he didn't know whether to go right or left. But as far as when it comes to devotional service, you know, Prabhupada was like Fred Astaire on the ballroom floor. How many know who Fred Astaire was? Oh, wow, quite a few. I'm amazed. Okay. I thought maybe just Amala Bhakta might, but but anyway. So, yeah, you know, he knew how to move. Prabhupada knew exactly what to do in terms of devotional service. He might not have known which way to go, right or left, when he got off the boat at Boston Harbor, but he certainly knew how to do everything, move in the arena or the realm of devotional service. Whereas with us, it's just the opposite. I mean, I know how to maneuver my way, navigate my way through the New York's, you know, subway system. But when it comes to devotional service, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. You know, I'm not getting dictations from the super soul, or you know. So that's different. So that's why it's very important to, you know, to take shelter of these highly elevated devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada and other advanced devotees, to get the proper understanding how to do this Krishna consciousness. It's an art. It's a science. It's tricky. And, you know, if you don't have expert guidance, you'll blow it. You really will. And we see so many examples of that. You really have to be humble and take the expert, you know, the guidance of those who are more proficient at the whole thing, more advanced than yourself. And that's the way to make advancement. So on that note, you know, how we got to take this guidance from these advanced devotees, Rupa Goswami, he gives us, you know, further insight into who Lord Chaitanya is. One of the first things everybody learns about Lord Chaitanya when they come to the movement is that prayer that Rupa Goswami composed, I think, in Allahabad upon his first meeting of Lord Chaitanya. He said, Namo Mahabhadanyaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namani Gautashvay Namaha. He prayed to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahabhadanyaya, you're the most magnanimous. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Why? Because you're freely giving what no other incarnation has ever given before. Pure love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. But now you're actually Krishna, but you're now coming in the form of, you know, Gaura Krishna, like that. So that was Rupa Goswami's understanding. You know, that was revealed to him upon surrendering to Lord Chaitanya in Allahabad. See, so that's the way we should understand Lord Chaitanya, that he's the most magnanimous incarnation, the most merciful incarnation. And that was, of course, confirmed by even all the acharyas and our Srila Prabhupada. In Atlanta in 1975, Prabhupada was kind of on the tail end of a tour he did. Well, Prabhupada was always touring, you know. But he'd been to Mexico City, then Caracas, Miami, and now he was in Atlanta, 1975. So it was an arrival speech. And, you know, they just come into the temple room. They just brought him back from the airport, came into the temple room, and they Prabhupada got darshan of the deities. And it was Gornatai had just arrived just before Prabhupada. They weren't installed, but they were already there. And then Prabhupada, in his arrival address, he said, Padama Karuna Pahundvijana. Swas was there. The sir always goes, you were there for this? Oh, okay. Nitai Gorda Chandra. These two lords, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they're very kind. He said, they're actually more kind than Krishna. And he went on. So he says, Krishna, he's also kind. He said, but Krishna, he demands, first of all, surrender. And then he goes and he said, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't even demand surrender. He's so kind, and that's as far as Prabhupada could get. And when he said that, he just became, he was already holding it in, you know. But when he got that far, he just became overwhelmed by ecstatic emotion, and he couldn't speak anymore. He said, he's so kind. And then he tried to say a bit more. He paused, and he said, so take shelter of Sri Chaitanya. He was crying, basically. So take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. And he couldn't speak anymore. 2 minutes, 1 second, the shortest arrival address on the records there, Bhaktivedanta archives. That's all Prabhupada could say. And, so that's the thing. Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, the most magnanimous incarnation. Krishna first demanded full surrender, and then he says in, you know, Bhagavad Gita 18:66, abandon all varieties of religion, surrender unto me, I'll protect you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. That's a good deal. That's a pretty good deal if you stop and think about it, to get delivered from all sinful reactions, and don't worry about it, but first you got to surrender. Krishna says, but he makes a condition, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. You see? But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't even demand that much. You know? Lord Chaitanya, he was more liberal, you know, than Krishna. An initiation, it's true that Lord Chaitanya didn't accept Jagai and Madai until they committed that they would give up their sinful activities, and then he'd accept them, and then he But like, it's one thing to just give up your sinful activities; another thing to be fully surrendered. And as Krishna had the bar a bit higher, Lord Chaitanya lowered the bar. And of course, Lord Nityananda, the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he lowered the bar even further because he was prepared to, you know, try to deliver Jagai and Madai even when they were still sinners, just as if they were just at least willing to chant the holy name. So sometimes it's said that the devotee of the Lord is even more merciful. Of course, Lord Vishnananda is also the Lord, but is more merciful than the Lord himself. But, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's the mercy, you know, it's like the mercy movement. I remember when I was a new bhakta, and, I was always, well, so what do we do? You know, how do you make advance? What am I supposed to do? And I remember I could just hear him saying, Jayadvaita at that time was a brahmachari, and he always would be saying, he'd just chant, dance, and take prasadam. Chant, dance, and take prasadam. And I mean, is that all? I mean, that's it. Just chant, dance, and take prasadam. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. Chant, dance, take prasadam. And still to this day, that's the formula. I mean, that's our conviction, right? You know, we firmly believe that if somebody comes here and they just enthusiastically chant and dance and take prasadam, they're going to get purified. They're going to make advancement. They're going to get elevated. You see? That might sound like, nah, come on, you kidding? That's too simple. You know, spiritual advancement, I mean, that's like, the, you know, that's the greatest achievement in life. How can you expect to just, you know, achieve the greatest, highest, most important thing in life just by chanting and dancing and... How? By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You know, there's a very nice verse that appears in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and I'll read it to you. This is a beautiful verse. Yojanam matam bhuvanam dayalor ulaghayan ap yakarot paramatam swaprema sampat suriya bhuteham Sri Krishna Chaitanyam amum prapade. Translation. Let me surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful personality of Godhead. He delivers those souls who emerged in ignorance and offers them the highest gift, love of Krishna, and thus makes them mad for Krishna consciousness. Wow, what a beautiful verse, isn't that? And just stop and think about that, what's being said there. He delivers those souls who emerged in ignorance. Now, I don't know about, you know, anybody else out there, but I won't say drink to that. I mean, I'll sign on for that, because I know that was where I was at. I merged in ignorance. You know, just merged in ignorance. Even from material, I was just merged in ignorance. And, you know, and then you come along to the Krishna conscious movement, and you're offered the highest gift, love of Krishna. In other words, Lord Chaitanya's movement is so merciful. He's given the highest. He's giving the highest to the lowest. The highest thing, Krishna Prema Pradayate, the highest perfection of life, Prema Pumartha Mahan, the fifth goal, you know, beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. The highest goal, the highest achievement for the jiva, for the living entity, is to attain love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is coming along, and he's giving it to those who are merged, those souls who are merged in ignorance. Amazing. But this is, you know, Lord Chaitanya's movement. Anyway, so, yeah, we just have to plug into it. And, you know, somebody might say, well, wait a second, what about, we've seen so many devotees come and, you know, they've done chanting, they've chanted, they've danced, they take prasadam, but we should, but they've gone away. How do we understand that? To dive amid the disami hajani nanaraga. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, oh, my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to the living beings. Thus you have hundreds of millions of names. In these transcendental names, you invested all your transcendental energies. There's no hard and fast rule for chanting these names. Oh, my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by the chanting of your holy name. But I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for them. So we should just consider it that's unfortunate. You know, the people who are not in situation, it's just unfortunate. So we have to try to, you know, not allow ourselves, first of all, to become unfortunate, and try to help unfortunate people of all different categories become fortunate. But just by, once again, you know, encouraging, please engage, come, chant, dance, take prasadam. That's it. You know, it's Kali Yuga, we're very fallen, and, you know, we just should be humble and take advantage of this simple, beautiful benediction that, you know, Lord Chaitanya is extending to us, that just by the simple process we could make advancement. And that was his program. That was Lord Chaitanya's program, actually, in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya traveled for, 6 years? How many years did Lord Chaitanya? Just 6 years, right? He traveled for 6 years. That's the Maja Lila. And then for 18 years after that, he resided in Jagannath Puri. So the first six of those years, he was holding kirtan every night, and he was personally attending at the temple in Jagannath Puri. And they were chanting for I remember hearing Prabhupada say, either 3 or 4 hours or 4 or 5 hours every evening. You know, and then when everybody was good and chanted and danced out, you know, they couldn't basically do it anymore, then Lord Chaitanya signaled and bring on the prasadam, and then they would feast. And that was the program. That was their regular program every day. Chant and dance for 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it was, and then prasadam. And that was, you know, Lord Chaitanya's program in Jagannath Puri during those years. Yeah, so, you know, as far as these types of things go, what we're hearing today, these very esoteric understandings, they're there. Prabhupada gave them to us. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given them to the Vaishnav community, and Prabhupada is giving it to us. But we should understand that a couple points on this, you know, these very high understandings here, is that even during Lord Chaitanya's time, there's only like very limited number of personalities that were privy to this information. Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, maybe a few of the confidential associates. It wasn't generally something that was even divulged to the general mass of people. And, it's good to know about it, but we shouldn't we don't have to dwell on these things. In other words, it's good to be, you know, to read it, to be knowledgeable, to be familiar, because we want to be conversant with all the different aspects of the philosophy. But Prabhupada himself, you know, Prabhupada himself didn't dwell on these kind of higher topics very much. He presented them, and proper perspective, and then moved on. It's basically the emphasis, and this, once again, this relates back to that first point I made in the beginning of the class, that we have to get our understanding of the balance of, you know, what's the relative importance of different things in Krishna consciousness from these highly elevated devotees, like, you know, like Prabhupada, you know, the Acharya, means the greatest teacher. And he didn't seem to emphasize it very much. He, once again, as I said, he presented it, but he didn't emphasize. What Prabhupada did emphasize, though, is something, is yade deke tade kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agaya guruhana tade desh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Back about 2 months ago now, I think Sura was giving class on Advaita Acharya's appearance day. And he very kindly actually read a lecture that Prabhupada gave on Advaita Acharya's appearance day in Mayapur back, you know, 1974 or 5 or 6, I can't remember which. And in that lecture that he read, at least between 8 and 12 times, Prabhupada repeated that, you know, particular instruction of Lord Chaitanya. So we can understand what Prabhupada thought was important for us to understand about Lord Chaitanya. These higher things are there, and they're meant to be read. When you become an advanced devotee, you can relish them, but don't get hung up on it. At least at our stage, I think the emphasis should be on preaching. And that's what Prabhupada himself showed. But, you know, he showed that himself. You know, sometimes we get confused, not in our ignorance, in our naive, well, we just don't, you know, we're new. We don't know much. And we think we have this idea of an advanced devotee is somebody who knows all about these things, these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that's all, and it is good to know that, and it's just absorbed in that and reading different Goswami literatures and like that. And, but no, not necessarily. I mean, Prabhupada himself, he didn't give us all the Goswami literatures. I mean, let's look at what Prabhupada did do, okay? He presented it. It's here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what Prabhupada really did do, what he made, took great risk and made great sacrifices to try to spread Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada did do. Right? He took great risks and made great sacrifices to spread Krishna consciousness. So that's the core symptom of an advanced devotee. And it also might be there, you know, that person, an advanced devotee might also like to relish reading these different Goswami literatures or something like that. That may or may not be there. But at least, you know, from Prabhupada, we can understand from what he said and what he did, which is the same, that the real thing, the real measure, or the real thing that we have to work on doing, if we want to follow in the footsteps and make advancement, follow that footstep. Follow Prabhupada's, follow Prabhupada's footsteps like that, of working on practicing, becoming, taking risks, and making sacrifices for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's the way to become advanced. And if we do that, then by doing that, you develop the qualification for understanding these other things. You see? It's not like you try to understand these other things and you become advanced and then you take some risks and sacrifice for preaching. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. Work on taking the risks and making the sacrifices for pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. By doing that, you'll please the predecessor acharyas, you'll please your spiritual master, you'll please Prabhupada and the Parampara disciplic succession. Your heart gets purified, your consciousness gets purified, and you'll understand. Then when you read these things, you'll get some insight. Krishna will reveal to you how, you know, something, and you'll understand it. You see? Like that. Not the other way around. So, yeah, thanks. I have to get that out of my system. Okay, so do we have still a little bit of time? Finish the summary. Oh, sorry. It says, this chapter also specifically describes the difference between lust and love. The transactions of Krishna and Radha are completely different from material lust. Therefore, the author has very clearly distinguished between them. Yeah. What time is it? I'll stop there, because, you know, I'm not going to... What can I... you want me to read some translations for a bit? Okay, I'll stop there, because I think we covered a lot of stuff. And maybe we could have some questions or some discussion. Anybody have anything they want to... Yeah.
Thank you very much, Prigapati Prabhu, for a nice class. That was a very nice way of presenting the need that we need to first deserve, then desire these higher esoteric... that's what Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said. He didn't want everybody going around, you know, spreading the Rasa Leela rasas to everybody. So that's all.
Yeah, right. That's right. And Prabhupada used to say that too. I didn't realize that first originated
desire,
from
first deserve,
then desire. Desire. Yeah. Yeah, deserve. And the way you deserve is you perform the tapasya, which is just following the regulative principles and engaging in your devotional service according to the directions of your higher authority. And, of course, part of that is preaching. You get purified. And then when you sit down and read these things, you'll appreciate them. You know? Yeah, Balaram Prabhu.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, I just wanted to share that since you're going to... Everyone acts according to their realization. And this is really beautiful that you said that, because we're in Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya, as you're reading this, appeared. And he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Mm-hmm. And in all our historical accounts, the eight major gopis, the associates of Srimati Radharani, appeared also in this Gaura Leela. And they actually appeared, as you just mentioned, as Vishakha and Lalita. Is Swarup Damodar is the secretary to Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, are very intimate. They are gopis, but they appeared in Kali Yuga as very advanced sannyasis and very advanced grihasthas. And they have the mood to protect and serve their boss, who is Lord Chaitanya. He is Krishna, he is Radharani at the same time. So this is the mood in Kali Yuga. Everything that is there is in Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So this is our mood. That's why the mood of Prabhupada is to distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's complete. Everything in Lord Chaitanya is complete. And the holy names is actually very complete. He's Krishna. There's no difference in the holy names, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes. If we come to the pure, which, you know, I'm a salesman, and the end result of this process is actually you become pure, and all the manifestations of the holy name will be revealed to you. It's complete. But we are not yet in the position to appreciate the total. So you have to take the mercy of the salesman, of the sadhus, who actually know, because I'm a car salesman, and not all the customers know the function benefit of the car. I have customers that cannot function a Prius. So I teach them, Mr. So-and-so, this is the Prius. You have to press on the brake and step. It's not your regular car. So it's a different thing. So it's the same thing. We have a manual to get the optimum result of the whole opulence of the Holy Name. And who can guide you? Prabhupada has the manual. The sadhus who's sitting right there is very humble, but he's telling us that he doesn't know it, but he knows it. But you have to be humble to approach those people who know the opulence, and they will guide you. That is our system.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amla Bhaktapur.
Thank you very much for a very insightful class. I just wanted to make one point. Often I get this question, why do you say that Lord Chaitanya is more magnanimous than Krishna? Krishna is giving out so much love to the gopis, he's giving to his cowherd boyfriends, he's giving to many of his generals. That the love is going out all the time, so why are you saying, not you, but why I'm, mm-hmm. when I say speak, why do I say that? So I generally refer back to not only the points that you made, which were all very, not only valid, but very useful, but there is that verse that Krishna himself states, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to one who is not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. So Lord Chaitanya bypassed that. He went to the point was, yes, if you're envious of me, well, I still give it out to you. I mean, look at the Jagga and Madai situation. They were so envious, but still he was able to give it out, as you mentioned, after they totally repented and was sorry for what they had done. So whether they were, if they're envious of, even if they were not in devotional service, even if Lord Chaitanya went everywhere, rich or poor, whatever color they were, whether they were ignorant or whether they were learned, everyone would get it, and that's what makes it distinctly different. And that is a, you might say, a relaxation which Krishna makes through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that everyone and anyone, because in Kali Yuga, if you just put very great strictures on it or great restrictions on it, then what happens is that all of the demons become so overwhelming that they don't even get an opportunity, and they overwhelm the whole world, which is, of course, what is happening to some extent. And that is why for the next 10,000 years it becomes very important that this holy name, as you and so many devotees are doing, that is distributing. And sometimes people say, yeah, but how many people are becoming devotee? That's a very superficial, very limited viewpoint. We have to see beyond just what is happening today. Actually, many are becoming devotees. And just because we're not seeing huge masses, great crowds, coming out, that doesn't mean they're not. Many practice Krishna consciousness in their cars, they practice in their homes, they practice walking on the street. I get a lot of people who tell me that they drive to work, going and back, and listening to the Chaitanya Charitamrita recordings that I did, the Krishna book recordings. I mean, literally thousands of people have stacks of letters like that telling. So there's a lot of persons out there, but they're not in en masse. So that was the first point I wanted to make. The other point is I just wanted to tack on to the point that you had made regarding chanting. the program of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, yes, it was chanting, it was dancing, it was taking prasadam. But there was more than that too, because Lord Chaitanya does, and Rupa Goswami makes this point in Nectar of Devotion, that there are five major practices that Lord Chaitanya not only practiced but also advised, and that's what was. First one was chanting of the holy name, which you mentioned, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, which, as you mentioned, is part of the dancing process and the taking prasadam process. So it's chanting, hearing the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, living in a holy dham. These were, if possible, or at least close to the holy dham, at least come to the holy dham. So these five, chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, and living in a holy dham, are considered to be most important of all the instructions that he gave. So we should keep those in mind. It was not only chanting and dancing and eating, but there was a philosophy behind the whole thing. And if we don't know the philosophy which we get through the Bhagavatam, then it seems to be like some enjoyment indulgence. But it's more than that. It's actually honoring and glorifying the Lord through taking the prasadam. So thank you so much, Rashi.
Thank you. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, 8:15. So I guess we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gantaraj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Thank you.